squeeze in, unfortunately. So if anybody's interested, all you have to do is pay your plane ticket, your bus ticket, and it's probably like $7 a day for your food. And that's about it. So what is $850 to pay for the whole trip? That's really cheap if you think about it. Right, so if anybody's interested, please let me know. Now, I'll go to it and I'll get that. Which one's the thingy? That one? Okay. All right. Now, one thing that, remember Brother Leslie was going to come with me in one of the years. I said, Brother Leslie, I need a doctor. He said, well, I'm not practicing medicine anymore. I'm running, Franklin University, wherever you're at, right? And I said, listen, in Mexico, if you were a doctor, you're a doctor, right? You can be a chiropractor, you can operate on somebody's heart over there. And you're a doctor.
I think you actually said if you have the smell of a doctor, you're
that's it, that's good enough, right? And so we brought a couple of guys that were barely doing their residency, and you're a doctor, come on. We had them working on kids, and that was it. But I'm sure if I were to bring someone to you and say, here's a guy, he hasn't been tested yet. He says he's going to be a doctor, but go ahead and trust your kid to him and let him do the surgery. Would you do it? Would you do it? Why not? What are you scared of? So we want the person to have passed the test and gone through the residency and qualified, right, and has gone through the whole thing before we trust them, right? And so we do what we call the testing. Okay? Now, when I was in Michigan, several of the people that went to our assembly, they all worked at either GM, Ford, or Dodge, or some of those, right? And so within them, there were engineers, they did doors, they did the airbags, a little of everything, right? And so one of the guys, his job was to test the vehicles. So they sent him to Thunder Bay with the vehicle, and they would take it to the real cold weather and run the vehicle, and they would take several guys, and after 2 hours, one guy would get off, the next one would get on, and they keep running it and running it and running it in the cold weather, because they wanted to make sure it could handle the cold weather. It had to pass the test. Well, once it passed that test of over a week of running it nonstop, then they would go to the desert of California, and they would do the same thing. They would run the vehicle, and switch drivers and keep going. And then once it did all that, then they would take it to rough areas where it would test, and then they bring it to the market. Now, what if I made a vehicle and I didn't do any testing? I said, here you go, give me $35,000 of your money. This car is, reliable. Would you want to buy that one or the one that's been tested? Which one? The one that's been tested, right? Because you know that it went through all the tests, and you don't just buy any car. In fact, some of those cars that haven't been tested, turned out to be lemonades, right? Right? And they're like, oh, what a mess, it wasn't tested enough. Okay, so today, guess what the subject is right here. Can you see that? I'm going to get it up right now. The test. Okay, the test. All right, so is this thing working? We're all good. Let me get animation going. Give me a second. Slideshow. From the beginning. And we should be good. Yes. Okay. So today we're gonna talk about the test. All right. And there's your text, John chapter 4, 1-6. So we are gonna do the first test, the second test, and then the source and our shield. That's our little outline for today. So open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, and I think as we read the text, you're gonna see why I titled it the test. Okay, now I hear that you have been studying your doctrines, right? What you believe, am I right? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, this is, I'm the kind of preacher that wants response. If I say ask a question, y'all just stare at me, y'all make me nervous. All right, and so say yes, no, you can do that. It's not ungodly to do that. You're welcome to do it, okay? All right, now, where's she at? She always likes for me to tell stories of when I was young. So I'm gonna give you a quick one, right, real quick. So we were in Sunday school, and I think I'm about 13 years old, and we were in a round table, and the teacher was teaching the class, and all of us were being goofy, we were kicking each other under the table. And all of a sudden, by accident, we kicked the teacher. So then the teacher started kicking us back. Then we all got in trouble, of course. So there you go. There's your story for the day. All right. Yes, I was in trouble every week, and I got spanked every week when I was growing up. Okay, so let's read our text. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God, but this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming. And now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. And because, this probably, a lot of people know this verse already, this is one of my favorite, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. All right, so how about we read it together? All right, verse 4, you are from God, little children, and you have overcome them. Ready, everybody together? Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen. Right? Don't forget that reality. That's, of course, the Holy Spirit. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. We here are the apostles who are writing the scriptures. And, of course, he includes us. But in this particular context, in this particular verse, it's the apostles. We, the apostles, are from God. He who knows God listens to us in the apostolic teaching. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Holy Spirit, be our guide today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, now, during the Second World War, specifically during the Battle of the Bulge, the Germans came up with a very ingenious plan. They took defectors from the U.S. who went to Germany and were fighting for the German cause. Now these guys have been educated in the U.S. and were well, you know, they could speak English perfect. So what they did was they put on GI uniforms and they walked into the camps and they caused a lot of destruction, a lot of havoc. So one day, one of them was in there, snuck in, and the American troops were getting ready to move out, and this guy trips. And when he trips, guess what he did? Huh? He cursed in German instead of in English, right? And so they discovered him. They discovered he was a fake. He was a fake. There's a lot of people that come into the church, some of them even raised in church, but have never really been converted. And how do we know if they're fake or not? How do we know if we're fake or not? That's why he says, test the spirits. Don't believe everybody you listen to. Test the spirits, right? Now, unfortunately, in our local church in Houston and also our local church in Cleveland, we've been burned twice by someone who we thought was an up-and-coming young man that's going to be a great preacher. And then the test, he didn't pass the test. He didn't pass the test. All right? So, notice what the text says then. Don't believe every spirit. Now, it's not me. The Word of God is telling us. Don't be vulnerable. Whoever preaches, don't believe them. In fact, don't believe me. You got to make sure that what I'm saying is from the Bible. Is it biblical? Right? And so, test every spirit, it says. But test the spirit to see whether they are from God. Because why? Because there's many false prophets of God out into the world. Right? A lot of false prophets. Now, church history is replete with evidence that the church has been infiltrated over and over again by false teaching. So we need to be very cautious, very careful. All right? Now, I want you to notice chapter 2 real quick and look at verse 18. 2:18. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have risen. And we know that this is the last hour because there's a lot of Antichrist, false teachers. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us.
But they went out, that is, they left the local church in order that it might be shown that they are not of us. Let me quote this to you from the New Living Translation. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. The Amplified Version put it this way. They went out from us, seeming at first to be Christians, but they were not really of us because they were not truly born again and spiritually transformed. But they went out teaching false doctrines. Wow. You know, I wish that that verse wasn't there. It's really heartbreaking when you see a young man, a young woman, and young people. I want you to listen to me. Children, I want you to listen to me. The most heartbreaking thing for me as a servant of God, having been raised in church, is having little boys and girls raised with me, get to a certain age, and they say to me, I no longer believe what I heard growing up. I deny it, I renounce it, and they walk away. That is the most heartbreaking thing for me. And young children, have you turned to Christ for the salvation of your soul yet? Have you made it firm and clear? And it's important, because if you don't do it now, and if you don't live now for the Lord, it's very easy for when you get to a certain age to say, you know what? I listen to other teaching, and I deny the scriptures, and I walk away. The churches are full of people who have left the church. Test the spirits. Okay, so let me, first test, second test. Let's go to our first test. What is the first test? Here we go. What do they say about Jesus Christ? And you're like, wow, thanks for coming just to tell us that. But unfortunately, every false teacher has an issue with Jesus. Every false teacher has an issue with Jesus. All right? So let's go back to our text and listen to what it says. By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. What does that mean? Let's look at this first test. All right, continually. Have they openly and fully embraced Jesus Christ and made it publicly clear? Whoever's going to teach the Word of God. That is, if they're Sunday school teachers, if they have a ministry that's represented by this local body, or if somebody's going to stand up here and preach. But let's just take it further. Have you, every one of you, have you openly and fully embraced Jesus Christ and made it publicly clear? Or are you still foggy about it? Does the body here know that you're a believer because you have said it with your mouth, because you have believed it in your heart? Have they openly confessed that Jesus, being full deity, that is, fully God, became a man, thus embracing his humanity and his deity? And yes, it's true, a person is not saved if they have not fully embraced the humanity and the deity of Christ. No, they're not. When you first say, maybe you understand this fully, but as you grow in your faith, you're going to completely receive it and make it part of your testimony. Now, let's go. Have you openly, clearly confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, that is God, repented of your sins, and taken Him as your Savior by faith? Have you done that? Have you done that? MacDonald puts it this way, explaining the text. Okay? It's acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Christ incarnate, and bowing down to Him as the Lord of one's life. He takes it further and he says, it's not just saying nice things about Him, but to confess Him as God in the flesh. It's not saying that Christ is divine. Notice, it's saying that He is God. There's some false teaching going on out there. They're called the JWs. They say that Christ is divine, but He's not God. That's false. That's a lie from the devil. He's not divine. He's fully God. He's fully God. It's not saying that He was a great prophet or a king. It's saying that He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now, it's not saying He was merely a historical person, but that He is the only way to God. The true nature of Jesus Christ is inevitably denied by false teachers and the systems they promote. And so the first thing we look for in anybody who preaches the Word of God, anybody who teaches a Sunday school class, who has a ministry associated with this local body, because they're representing this local body, is, do they fully preached Jesus Christ? Have they embraced Him? Are they preaching His deity and His humanity? He is always God, has always existed, but He took on a body. Do they embrace that? Do they preach it? Do they believe it? Do they live it out? Alright, so let's look at what MacArthur says about this. Jesus Christ proceeded from the Father as the living Word of God, who became flesh. He is one with the Father, manifested to humanity as the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. By the way, anybody who's a true Bible teacher who truly embraces Jesus is inevitably going to become a Trinitarian. That is, they will preach God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a true biblical teacher. You cannot be a really from God if you deny the Holy Trinity. So, it's manifested humanity as the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. According to the plan of God, Jesus came in the flesh so He might die a substitutionary death as a man for sins of other men. That is the only way He could redeem all who believe. John MacArthur. Okay, so that's the first test. Let's go to the second test. Are you ready? Here we go. Second test. He listens to and accepts apostolic teaching, both Old Testament and New Testament. Fully embraces this Bible, this holy word right here, right, as the inspired, authoritative, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And if a person does not do that, he did not pass the test. If he doesn't fully embrace Jesus Christ as fully God and fully man, he failed test number one. If he does not fully embrace apostolic teaching, because Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So the prophets had unique authority to teach the Word of God, and as they were speaking, and they were writing down the Word of God, they were speaking pure doctrine and fully inspired by God. And so yes, we believe in the apostolic teaching. And he said, if they don't listen to us, the apostles, and our teaching, then they're not from God. They didn't pass the test. So where are you at? I know many men and some full-time workers, we shouldn't be full-time workers because they don't believe this right here. And I told several of them, you need to call your local assembly and tell them the truth. Don't be a liar. If you don't embrace this, why are you telling them, acting like you do? And quit being a worker. Go somewhere else where they allow this. But you shouldn't be one. Accepts a literal, watch this now, the literal, historical, contextual, grammatical interpretation of the Word of God. Listen, you can spiritualize anything in the Bible, make it say anything you want. A millennium? There's no millennium. Revelation 2, there's going to be a millennium, 1,000 years. No, there's not a millennium. Revelation, it says it 6 times. The 1,000-year reign. All the Old Testament is full of the millennial reign of Christ. It's full of it. No, it's not there. We're already living it. Okay, so they spiritualize everything. This is the test. Test number two. All right, now, let's go to the source of wrong teaching. Notice, please, the text. Every spirit, verse 3, that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit, notice, of the Antichrist, which is you have read that it's coming and it's now already in the world. So there is a, believe it or not, right now, I don't know if you're saved or not. I don't know what you believe. Because I haven't talked to every one of you persons to hear you telling me that you believe this. But the spirit of the Antichrist, there's a spiritual battle going on right now if you're not saved for your soul. And the spirit of Antichrist are spirits of demons. It's against Christ. And they're doing whatever it takes to get you from believing in Christ, from repenting and turning to Him, even right now for salvation. He says, do you know why some people don't embrace Jesus and don't embrace the Word of God? Because the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, and anti means against, completely opposed to Christ. All right, let's continue. 1 Timothy says this, and it's there, so you won't have to go look. Some will fall away from the faith Far away from the faith, to depart from, to remove oneself from the position originally occupied to another place. It's a purposeful, deliberate departure from a former position. Let's go a little further. Those who come very close to the truth that saves, only to leave. It's not one struggling to believe, but one who willfully abandons the biblical faith he has once professed. And many people are there. Many people are there. They know about Christ. They don't deny Christ. They know he died. They know he resurrected. They don't deny all that. But they have never personally repented and said, Lord, save me from my sin and from my lostness. It's head knowledge. It's intellectual knowledge. It's religious knowledge. But it's not salvation. And so that's why he says someone's going to fall away, because they never really were born again. And why? Let's go. We're looking at the source. Why? The root cause. Listen. Paying attention to who? Connecting it back with 1 John. Deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. That's why I said the salvation of your soul is a spiritual battle. Right now, the deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons, are distracting. They're, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4, they're putting a veil up. They're doing anything they can to keep you from repenting and turning to Christ. There's a spiritual battle every time the Word of God is preached. Every time. They're going to oppose Christ. They hate Christ. And they're deceitful, and they have their doctrines. Doctrines are in the form of books. Do you think there's demon-inspired books in the bookshelves? You better believe it. You better believe it. Men full of the devil, writing down lies, because the devil is nothing but a liar. You think movies are have an agenda? Are trying to teach you something? Are trying to tell you to go in and accept all this perversion that's going on today? You better believe it. You don't think they mock Jesus Christ and curse him in these movies? And in school, do they let you talk about Jesus in school? Guess why? Because the spirit of the Antichrist. Do not love the world. Why? Because the spirit of the Antichrist is moving in religion. You don't think he loves religion? Oh, man. The demon's number one thing is to be in churches and preaching their religion. And morality. That's okay. You can be gay. You can be transgender. You can be this. That's okay, because God loves you. That's the biggest lie from hell. Because a true believer will repent from that and turn to Christ and clean that up. All right. These spirits lead people to damning error. Listen to anything, attend church, do good, just don't repent and trust and openly confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. See, they don't care what you do. You can come here, sing the songs, and sound pretty and do your Christian thing, as long as you don't repent and turn to Jesus. And so, the demon, listen to their confession and their theology. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. Notice their confession. The Holy One of God. The demons know that Jesus is God. Why? Because they were in heaven with him, with Satan, which was a cherub, a high-ranking angel, with all the demons. And when he decided to rebel, he dragged a third of the angels with him down to the earth, and they called demons, right? And they know exactly who Jesus is. That's why they call him the Holy One of God. Isn't that amazing? They have good theology, but are they saved? Listen, and seeing Jesus, this is the one that had 1,000 demons in him. He cried out and fell before him, before Jesus, and said in a loud voice, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Listen to what the demons are calling him. The Most High God. They're calling him God. "I beg you, do not torment me." James 2:19, "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder." But here's what the Bible says, that Jesus didn't come to die for demons, Hebrews chapter 2, but he came to die for humans, for man, to save us. And so the demons know all of the doctrines. They know exactly that Jesus is God. They know that he took on a body. They know the gospel, and they shake because they know the truth, but they're doing whatever they can to drag you with them to hell. As long as you don't repent and trust Jesus, they don't care. What is our shield against false teaching? What is our shield? Look at the text. Go back to 1 John 4. We're going to read verse 3 just to connect it. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you heard that is coming. And now it is already in the world. This spirit, these demons, this false teaching. You are from God though, true believers, little children, a term of endearment, and have overcome them. That is the false teaching of the Antichrist, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So, who's in us? It's the Holy Spirit. He's our shield against this false teaching. He's greater than the deceitful demons and their doctrines, greater in power, in wisdom, and authority. So praise God for the Holy Spirit who reveals truth, who gives us discernment to know when something is not from God. And so every believer then, when you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're given the Holy Spirit, and when you hear good teaching, the Holy Spirit says, yes, good teaching. Grow in it. Receive it. And he convicts and he teaches. But when you hear bad teaching, suddenly something happens. You say, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. And it bothers you. And it's the Holy Spirit saying, not good. Not from God. Okay? Now, let's take a test. We got time. Y'all want to do? Let's take a test, right? Y'all feel like having a test? All right. So, this is stuff. You're going to tell me if it's true or false. Now, no cheating. Children, you can't ask your mama. Alright, don't ask mom or uncle or cousin. Alright, I want to see all of you. Let me see if you can answer. Don't turn around and tell mama, what is it? Alright. Okay. Ah, the guy trying to whisper to you. Alright. No cheating on this test, alright? Everybody look straight and don't say yes or no or not. Or, here we go. Let's go. Number one, is this true or false? Just think quietly. Is it true or false? Because this is what my wife and I heard in a church in Christmas. This was their Christmas message. Right here. Is that true or false? In other words, do we all have regrets and we make mistakes? Is that what the Bible teaches? What does it say in the Bible? We all make mistakes, we have regrets. And just draw near to Jesus and begin your journey. Have you heard that in the Bible? This is what we heard preached in a Bible church. There's no literal hell. How can a God of love condemn someone to eternity? Is this true? Don't say it out loud. We don't want the little children to look at you and cheat. What do you think, little guys? What is that? Is that true or false?
False.
Ah, somebody said it out loud. Dude. You didn't pass the test. No. Okay. Man is basically good. Don't say it out loud. Okay, little guys, little girls, young teenagers. Is this true or false? Are you basically good? I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't killed anybody. Right? Are you good? Yes or no? Is that biblical? Love God, help the needy, do good to your neighbor, and God will see your good works and let you enter into heaven eventually. Right? Because you're doing all these things for him. The Bible is written by men, therefore it is not trustworthy. Let's see. You can't really know if you're justified until judgment day. Somebody preached that in our pulpit. We removed them. Oop, I gave you the answer. Sorry. That was my fault. You can lose your salvation. Jesus Christ was a great prophet, very wise, but he was not God. This is all stuff that I've heard in our Bible studies that we're trying to reach out to people. All of this has been, I'm quoting you what I've heard. Jesus was created by God. What do you think? Everything in the Bible is true, but God gave us another book to give us more understanding. The Holy Spirit told me after fasting and praying. Somebody came and told me in my front door that if they fasted and prayed and the Holy Spirit told them, then it has to be true. All right, so let's see. How'd you do in your test? Is this true or false? Now you can answer. Of course, everything is false that was right there, right? That was written, given to you. Repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. You see repentance in there anywhere? You see sin anywhere? In that message, they never mentioned repentance, they never mentioned sin or the cross. This is what they said. That's false teaching. That's not the gospel. There's no literal hell. You've heard that one, right? Of course, we know, depart from me, your cursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So it says eternal fire. All these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. There's your answer. I got a lot more verses, but for the sake of space and time, I just gave you a few. By the way, if you want these PowerPoints, you can have them. Man is basically good. What is your answer? There's no one who does good. There's not even one. All have sinned and fall short. You know those verses, right? Love God, help the needy. Salvation is a gift of God, not a result of works, that no one should boast. Bible is written by men. All scriptures are inspired by God. No prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. You can't really know you're justified until judgment day. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's in the present tense. Right now, we have peace with God because we've been justified. Jesus was a great prophet, but he was not God. You can lose your salvation. There's your verses. 10:28, no one can take you away from me. And Romans 8:31, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He was a great prophet, but he was not really God. That's the verse we just looked at. So you know what the answer to that one is. He was created by God. That's a bunch of baloney. There's some verses right there you can look at. See that that's not true. And Revelation 22, 18, 19, if you add to the book, you're going to be condemned. If you take away from the book, you're going to be condemned. Right? And so I told this person who said, there's another book, and the Holy Spirit told me, I said, well, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was the spirit of a demon. It's called the Antichrist, deceitful spirit that told you that. He started cursing me and walked out of it. So you come to my own house and do this? That's a lie. And he walked away, steaming and huffing and yelling at me until he disappeared. So how did you do in the test? All right, so let me conclude with this. All right, there's your answers. Have you clearly confessed Jesus as your Lord, your God, and Savior? Clearly. Have you been born of the Spirit? It's another way of asking the same question. I pray that you have. I pray that you have because I would hate to see one of you grow up or even an adult suddenly come to a point where I no longer believe this truth. So I hope you pass the test. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. And, we want to be careful to make sure that we embrace the truth. And that we have been truly born again, and we're going to teach your truth. Help us, Lord, I pray. I pray that everyone here would have passed the test. And if there's someone who's yet to trust you, I pray that today they would repent and turn to you for the forgiveness of sins and for eternal life. I pray this in Jesus' name.